Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I do believe that God has begun something new and fresh amongst us. And I know that he has. And I'm personally experiencing it, but it's a progression. It's an ongoing work. And last week we were speaking about the need for the Holy Spirit and how we need the Holy Spirit. The disciples were told by Jesus to not go and fulfill anything that he had told them to do without being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I am, you know, in the right sense, happy to be called a faith minister, a person who ministers the word of God and believes the authority of God's word. And a faith church is actually the kind of church God wants, because an unbelief church is the kind of church that he doesn't want. And so a faith church is what God wants. But it's not just faith, it's not just the word, it's the word and the spirit. It's not just the spirit, it's the spirit and the word. And so we can see that God is wanting to not only get us into the kind of promises and the word of God and really know our Bibles, but we need to be filled with the Spirit in this hour to fulfill the call and the ministry that God has got on us personally and as his church, his body. We are called the body of Christ. And Christ means the Messiah, or it also means the anointed one and his anointing. And anointing is really always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And we were hearing last week and really coming back to a fresh understanding that the Son of God himself let go of all his divine power and attributes. He remained always the Son of God when he became man. But he emptied himself of those divine powers and attributes so that he could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I have a question for you this morning that I'm trusting is really going to get your attention. Rather than looking at what anybody else is doing this morning, I'm praying that the Lord will get your heart and your mind today. The question is this: how much do you need the Holy Spirit? And what could God do with someone who is filled with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit? That's a big question. What could God do with you if you were totally filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, we're going to have a look at we're going to continue in the same way of looking at this being filled with the Holy Spirit, but being emptied of ourselves. Because I don't believe we major enough on being empty to be filled. I think a lot of it is, fill me for what I want to do. Fill me for what I need to happen. And God wants us so emptied of our own agendas, emptied of our own thing, and saying, Lord, unless you come and fill me, I can do nothing. I can do nothing without your Spirit. Just as Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing. And this was the Son of God who said that in John chapter 5, verse 19. So in Acts chapter 9, we read here of a man who God did amazing things through. And his name was Saul, but he changed his name to Paul. And we know him mostly as the Apostle Paul. And Saul is a man who has enormous human abilities. He was born with a brain. The guy had an amazing brain. He was a very intelligent man. And he worked his way up to the top in that religious system because he was so clever and he was so zealous for the law. He was a religious zealot. And he was also able probably to argue most people down because he was that good with the word, the law. But God had a plan to empty him of himself and fill him with his Spirit. By him accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and then being filled. And you know the story in Acts chapter 9. Paul is traveling along the road to Damascus and he is out to kill the disciples of Jesus. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, verse 3, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. As he neared Damascus, a light from heaven. Really, whenever you see the word light, it usually means revelation. God is showing something. And it's a heavenly light. It doesn't come from the earth. It doesn't come from the sun. It's not natural. And it flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Another translation says, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads." The goads were for young oxen or young animals that were untrained and just wanted to kick. And as they used to kick out because they didn't want to be harnessed. How many of you have done that? Kicking out because you don't want God to be Lord of your life. There would be spikes in the back of the, they used to put spikes in the back of the cart. And the ox used to learn pretty quickly that it hurt to kick against those. And the Lord was saying, "Saul, you are persecuting, you're attacking my church. This is hard for you to come against. You're coming against me. When you attack my church, when you attack any believer, when you attack any minister, you're coming against me. And it's hard for you. You'll never win." And if you can imagine, Saul is on the ground. He fell. I love that. Because this man is used to standing up and arguing. But the Lord is able to make somebody fall. Light from heaven is able to make you bow. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus. I am Jesus." I should think it's the worst thing he could ever have heard in his life. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Basically, he's on the floor and he's getting this, "My goodness me, I have been wrong. I have been attacking and planning to kill the Lord's disciples. And now I know that this Jesus is both Christ and Lord." And so Saul says, and it's actually in another translation, Saul actually says, "What do you want me to do?" Basically, he'd stopped calling the shots. He'd stopped saying, "Lord, I want you to do this." But he got into the right condition for God to meet his need. And his need was for God himself to fill him. For him to come down on his knees and saying, "It's not about me anymore. It's not about me being right. It's not about me arguing to the point of kind of winning. It's what do you want me, Lord, to do?" And I want to put it to you this morning that basically, as soon as Saul was willing to yield and give those words out of his mouth, "What do you want me to do?" What words they were. They were the first words coming out of the greatest missionary the world has ever known, the greatest theologian who has brought us the in Christ word. We're talking about a great man of God, so bowed before Jesus that he says, "What do you want me to do?" So much about our lives can quickly get into this, "I want God to give me a job. I want God to do this for me." Now, we know God is good. We know he wants to do us good. He's come so that we might have life and life in all its fullness. But it's not life according to my will. And so Saul on the ground says, I understand that it's you that needs to call the shots and not me. And you know, most of you, the Bible, of how God used Paul to transform the known world of that day through missionary exploits. And basically he was saying, I want you to change the world my way. So the question is, what can God do with someone who says, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, God has the man, and so God can display the power. There's the secret. When God has the church, God can display his power. When God has his leaders, God can show his power. I'm under the same word as you are today. I'm under the same need of bowing in all humility and saying, Lord, what do you want to do? I can't assume I know. I need to bow and understand his will. In Acts chapter 19, Paul comes into Ephesus, and it says in verse, the kind of second part of verse 1 and verse 2, there Paul found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Basically, he's there doing what God wanted him to do. And he said, no, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. I love these guys. I love the people who don't yet know. I want to go to those who don't yet know. I don't like preaching to know-alls. Because those who don't yet know are actually like, we haven't heard. There are so many out there who haven't heard. There are so many where you work and live, they haven't heard. And they said, what Holy Spirit? And Paul says, well, hang on, let's get some grounding here. What baptism did you receive? And they said, John the Baptist. Now these guys had been in the wilderness with John the Baptist, who'd called them to repentance, but they'd left and they were still living, confessing their sins. But they hadn't met the Messiah, the Christ. And so Paul says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men that started an awesome church in Ephesus that day. But what did Paul find in that church, or rather amongst those John the Baptist disciples? He found the condition where God can come in. What is the condition? We don't know everything yet. We need God. Teach us. Holy Spirit, we need you. And as soon as they've met that condition, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to be so full of God that they spoke in tongues and prophesied, which was the first sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The first sign is always vocal. Hello? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak with other tongues and prophesy as the Spirit enables you. It's not because you'll do it, but it's the Spirit filling you to do it. And as we keep saying, silence is not an option for Spirit-filled believers. Amen. And I will say it until I go to glory, because the more introspective you get, the more you shut down the life of the Spirit. Oh, yes, and everybody said amen. There needs to be a release of the life. Out of your innermost being will flow. Where does it flow from? From your mouth. Praise the name of Jesus. So Paul found the right condition. And you know, I have been thinking a lot about the ministry of Jesus and how fully Jesus was the perfect example. And one of the things it says about Jesus, you can read it in Philippians, is when he humbled himself, he became a servant. He was the servant, capital S, because he was the Son of God. But he became a servant. And so when Jesus was talking about the greatness of those in the kingdom, he said the greatest are those who serve. The greatest are the servants. They're not your high flyers. who appear to have everything together, they're the ones who serve. I consider the world the right way up. This is how I see. Servants are the greatest. And a servant is someone who is taking orders from another. Am I right? If I was to say, I am booked in to serve at table somewhere, and I get the boss come in and say to the boss, boss, could you just go and sort that customer out? He would say, I'm not here to do that bit. You're here to serve. And we can see that this attitude is vital to be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it's because we understand what it is to be a servant. What does it mean to say, what do you want me to do, Lord? Not always telling God what you want him to do. Now, it sounds like a heavy word, but it's only heavy on the flesh. Your spirit is willing. If you're born again, you've got a heart to be a servant. It's in your nature to serve God and to serve people. And so you love it when your flesh gets the death blow of saying, you're not being boss. You're going to be trained by my will to be the servant that God wants you to be. Jesus became obedient in every way, and I find it amazing that the Son of God, he actually says, my doctrine isn't even my own. Wow, people who make up their own doctrines, the Son of God was so humble to say, it's not my doctrine, it's the Word. I don't speak my own words, I only give what he says. Isn't that amazing? I only do what I see the Father doing. In other words, I'm not here to initiate. I'm here to follow his lead. And this is the key to see the power of the Holy Spirit manifest. And Jesus didn't do that once. He did it daily. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, turn to Galatians. We just bring this into another way of understanding of being in the right condition. I know you have been born again for miracles. I know you've been born again for supernatural life. I know that God hasn't even really, some of your lives even started. But I know that he can do anything through anyone who says, what do you want me to do, Lord? This is the point of victory, surrender. At the point at which you surrender is the point where God can come in. Sometimes we're fighting for something to happen, and it doesn't happen until you bow. Why didn't my life work? Well, how about, what do you want me to do, Lord? And come back to that position of humility and saying, Lord, I'm here to serve you. You're not here to serve me. So in Galatians chapter 3, we'll read. We'll start with verse 2. Well, verse 1 is pretty hot preaching from Paul, which is the word of God. You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Imagine the preaching on a Sunday morning. You foolish KFSW, who has bewitched you? Before you, Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. In other words, you saw what Jesus did on the cross. And then he says, I'd like you to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit? So he's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? How did in Acts 19 those guys receive the Holy Spirit? They believed. And they got filled. And they began to speak. And they became supernatural. And they became anointed. They had power to do the works of Jesus. How did they receive that? By trying? or by believing, accepting what they heard, and being filled because God saw the faith. It's fantastic, that. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit. There we go. Paul says you started right. You started dependent on God. You couldn't save yourself. You started saying, Jesus, I need you. You started saying, I can't do anything unless you help me. You started by becoming like a child and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? So having begun in the Spirit, are you now, it says, trying to attain your goal by human effort? Deliver us, Jesus, today. I pray that everybody in this room will be delivered from human effort. Stop trying. Stop it with your own kind of achievements to reach even God's promises and goals for your life. It can't be done with human effort. Having you started well, Paul says, but you've returned to doing life in your own effort. And you know, when we do life in our own effort, we end up miserable. We end up joyless. We end up powerless. We end up not being able to do the things that Jesus wants us to do with joy and power. Verse 4, have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Now verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Do you want the supply of the Spirit? Do you want the workings of miracles amongst us? How does God do that? The Word of God tells us, not by human effort, but by believing what we've heard. Isn't it interesting, this connection with believing and the manifestations of miracles and the life of the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit in your life? Don't you think that's interesting that Paul connects faith with the Holy Spirit? Can you see the connection there? You received the Spirit at first because you just believed in Jesus and you were filled. Now we need to return and go back to living life by the Spirit. How do we do that? It's connected with this believing heart, with somebody who says, Lord, I just believe what you say. I accept. I'm not going to try in my own effort to achieve what only the Holy Spirit can do. I'm not going to try and love that person who's really difficult to love in my own effort. I'm going to believe that your love in me will do that. And the supply of the Spirit will flood your life. You need a supply of love? Believe. Stop doing it in human effort. How are you going to get a breakthrough in that relationship that's not changed for years? He who supplies his Spirit to you and works miracles in your family, he does it by the hearing of faith. When you hear what Jesus has got to say, faith floods your life. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were saying how difficult their daughter was being. And it was so hard for them to have a relationship with their daughter because she was just a rebel, just wanted to do her own thing. You know, really, really difficult teenager. And fight, 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 fight. And the thing about this person is that she always used to, before she got saved, fight, 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 fight. And so even though saved, she would still treat and deal with a daughter with a fight, fight, fight. And how many of you know flesh produces flesh? So the more you fight, the more you actually produce strife and arguments. And one day, I think she came to church and she heard a message that, or was encouraged by the Lord. I don't know, she heard the Lord. And basically the Lord said, I've got a strategy for you to win. Do you want to know what it is? And the Lord just said, when she kicks off, just leave it and pray. Don't retaliate. But then later on, when she's calmed down, say, you were wrong. I don't want you ever to talk to me like that. God's strategy, the supply of the Spirit. Now, this is a working of a miracle. just showing you how this miracle worked out in reality. And so this girl kicked off and she bit her tongue. Have you ever had to do that to stay in the spirit? No, you're also, your emotions kind of, and you're like, get down. Down, boy. Heal. And those emotions just, she said, right, I'll bite my tongue, I'll say nothing. Walked away. And later on, when all the silly tiff had gone, and the girl worn herself out, because flesh can and will wear you out. Being angry wears you out. Makes you very unhealthy as well. Affects your health. She came back to the little girl, her daughter, and she said, you were wrong. And I don't want you to speak to me like that. I'm really sorry, Mum. And she said, for the first time in years and years, I have a relationship with my daughter. So does he who surprised the spirit to you and works miracles amongst your family, how does he do it? Through the hearing of faith. What a testimony that is. Of someone who hasn't just started in the spirit, but gone through life in human effort. You need a transformation in your marriage, your workplace. It just needs to come back to, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know that you've got a plan to win. But I just need to know what to do. I'm not going to go around banging my head up against this brick wall. I'm going to ask you to tell me, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And a servant operates out of this principle, a servant of the Lord. Paul actually said of himself, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. Okay, he was an apostle, but he actually says, I am a slave of Christ. I've given my life to him, and so what can I do but serve him? It should be the cry of every believer. It should be all of us today. You gave everything for me. Lord, I am your slave. I'm here to serve you. And the power comes in that condition. Thank you, Father. Human effort can't achieve what God wants to do for us and through us. Turn with me to Joshua, and we're going to finish with this scripture. And then we're going to pray together. Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. Just pray in the spirit as you're turning there. Just let's be active in this meeting, spiritually active. Sugura Mahandi. Sigarada Yendike Su. Holy Spirit, help us, refresh us, keep us listening to your voice. Lord, you want us to be like Paul, and so we are just giving ourselves to hear your word, so the life of your spirit can be released amongst us. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is a situation where the people of God have just crossed the Jordan, God's people, Israel, and they've come into the promised land, but the promised land is actually full of lots of giants. So this isn't heaven. There are no giants in heaven. So don't think Canaan is heaven. It's speaking to us of seeing the kingdom come here. Because there's no demons in heaven. Ah. So this is for us now. Joshua is leading God's people to take possession of the land. Do you know why you're here? To be led to take possession of the land. The kingdom of God. Go and bring it into the world. That's why you're here. You're a servant of the purpose of God. To go into the world and make disciples of all people. That's why we're here. See the dominion of the kingdom come. Now, Joshua, it says in chapter 6, verse 1, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. What a picture. Joshua sees Jericho and the people of Israel know that Jericho is tightly shut up. So in other words, it's fortified. It's got walls that you can race chariots on. They're that thick. Human effort isn't going to bring them down. Human effort isn't going to win this city to Christ. And it's tightly shut up. The enemy wants to fortify, to keep in the souls and to keep out the kingdom of heaven that comes through God's people. So he shuts things up. He is called in Ephesians, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we're not against people, but we are here to see victory over powers and principalities that hold people captive. Jesus was very clear. He said, by the Holy Spirit, I drive out demons. But you must first bind the strong man before you can plunder the enemy's camp. Before you can go in, you need to understand there is a spiritual force that is holding captive. But Jesus says, it's by the Spirit I see victory. By the Spirit I cast out demons. Matthew 12. By the anointing. By the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Not blah, 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 let's throw a sword here, there, and everywhere. The Holy Spirit directs into a pretty accurate attack, similar to what Pastor Andrea was saying about Israel this week. Rather be strategic than worn out and not really achieve very much. I'd rather you were strategic as a believer than running around after so many stuff with your human effort. Now, it speaks in Hebrews 11 about these walls, and it says that by faith the walls came down, the walls of Jericho, after they had marched around them 7 times. By faith the walls came down after. Can you understand there was an after? There was a before, and there's an after. And so something had to happen before there was an after. Because human effort, sometimes you know the stuff going on in our lives, all we're doing is like running up to the walls of Jericho going, poof, another bruise. Hang on, let's have another go. I went to church today. Hang on, I feel really stirred up. Poof, oh, that hurt. And all you're doing is hitting a wall. Wake up to human effort. You'll get your nose bruised. It won't work in the power of man. We need the power of God to accomplish the victories he's planned for us. And so we see that the power of the Spirit came after the obedience of faith. Oh, hang on. It means God wants to make me do something that I do because I heard him to do it. And after I've done that, bosh, crash, wow, awesome will come. Joy will come. Freedom will come. Victory will come. Liberty will come. The best will come after the obedience of faith. Now, Paul often brings this word faith and obedience together. You can't obey God unless you have the faith. Otherwise, it's the law. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word. So we need to be hearing before we can walk in the obedience of faith and get the phenomenal victories God has intended for us. To be honest, I'm enjoying this word because I can see how God wants to cancel out in all of our lives, and in my life included, all this human effort that isn't from faith. Because the supply of the Spirit and the working of miracles comes from the hearing of faith. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from being so long in the Christian thing that we've missed the childlike faith. What do you want me to do to get the victory? Not what are people saying? What's the economy saying? What's the boss saying? What's the family saying? Not what the doctors are saying? Not what the kids are saying? Lord, what are you saying? Now, we're coming into seeing how God brought the faith that supplied the Spirit that brought the working of miracles. Okay, so let's back up a tiny bit in verse 13 of chapter 5. we see Joshua, he's near Jericho. And it says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, stop. Joshua was near Jericho. We'll read the rest later. Joshua is in the land. He's seen the waters part. All the people of God are through. And he's near Jericho. Intimidating view. Quite an intimidation coming at him. You've got to win that. This land's ours. And you know what would be going around in his head? Because he'd been taught by God how to be a success by meditating on the word. So he'd have stood there going, and I bet the faith confession went up a gear. Because it does when you're seeing the challenge. You start to say, you will lead these people to inherit the land. The Lord says, you will lead these people to inherit that. You will lead. You will we will inherit the land. And he's looking at Jericho going, I will lead these people. I will lead. I will lead. Yes, I will lead. Can you imagine the faith confession? And then he says, no man will stand against me. You won't stand against me. No, you won't. Walls, you will not. Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I think sometimes our faith confession is just a pure demonstration of flesh. Puff, puff, puff. I believe in faith confession. But the promises are always true and always come to pass. So it's true. And God needed to give Joshua the word, but he needed a fresh encounter and a fresh voice from the Lord to get the victory over Jericho. So what happens? Joshua was near Jericho, and he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him, and he asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down, a bit like Saul. Got into a condition. Got into the right condition. Oh, may you hear what the Spirit is saying to you today. He got into the right condition. He fell face down in reverence. And he asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. So, Joshua, I've got to face Jericho, I've got the word. And obscuring his view is this warrior. I don't know if you've ever thought of the Lord as your warrior. As in W-A-R-R-I-O-R. Fight. The Lord makes war, the scripture says. And he is standing in front of Joshua, kind of getting in the way. And it looks like a man. Many times through scripture, when God appears, he appears as a man because we know that he is forever Son of Man and Son of God, the Eternal One. And he's got his sword drawn, so he says, I'm ready. I'm ready. And this sword, I tell you, wins every time. And Joshua walks up to him because he hadn't seen who this person was. And sometimes I think, you know, our relationship with the Lord is so kind of buddy-buddy. Hiya, Jesus. How are you? Doing good today? Yeah, doing really good. Brilliant. But sometimes, you know, we're to be friends of Jesus. I don't want to bring on just the one revelation, but we need the whole counsel of God. Who God really is, it needs to broaden in our view. And he walks up to the Lord, who's actually this man standing with a sword, and he says, are you for us or them? Can you imagine saying that to the Lord? I mean, are you with them or us? Which side are you on? And the Lord says, just the one word, neither. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to be Lord. I'm not here for man's opinion. I'm here to rule. When we confess Jesus as Lord, what we're saying, Jesus has come to rule my life. I am his servant. I don't get a say in what I do. And so the Lord says, neither. I'm not going to take sides. And you'd be very wise in any kind of argument to not take a side, to not be so forceful about your view. But if you are with someone who is another believer, to bow and say, Lord, what is it that you want to say? You're Lord of our marriage. You're Lord of our family. You're Lord of our money. What is it you want me to give? What is it you want to do with my life and serving the church? It's a different dynamic that produces actually victory in God's people. The victory comes from this submission. And he says, I've come to be the commander of the Lord's army. I do not lead this church. I am the leader under the leader. We are the leadership under the Lord. You do understand that? I don't determine what messages we have. This isn't my message. It's the Lord's message to us. It's so important you understand that. That he is the commander of the army of the Lord. You know, an army has a command. It doesn't have people who have a suggestion box. You know, what's in the suggestion box this week? What's the preferences on the people this week? Now, God loves us, but he knows the way we're going to be the happiest, most free, the most fulfilled is yielded. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. So this man, the warrior, is the Lord. And actually, the Lord wants a bit more from Joshua than just his bowing down and wanting a message. He then goes on to say, a bit further, Josh, take off your shoes. In other words, Joshua will have remembered that Moses had the burning bush thing. The Lord appeared to show that he was God. And the Lord is appearing to show that he's God. And the Lord needs to appear in our lives to stand right in front of us. The Lord who is the warrior. The Lord who makes war on his enemies. He's not here to take sides. He's here to deal with victories over the devil and bring us into greater victory so that his kingdom can come and his will be done. But he needs a people who will take this place before him and bow, so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I do believe we're in the most serious time we've ever been in as a church, but the best. I actually believe we're in the best season. I actually believe God's got the bunch he wants. I think we're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're not here by mistake. God chose you to be part of this. It's not by mistake. God doesn't want to eliminate you. He wants to include you in this. Now, what happened with this is Joshua got the instructions to march around the city 7 times in silence and then blow the horns and the walls will come down. So, in other words, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for tearing down strongholds, for bringing victory. So, in other words, we aren't going to win the world's way, but we will win if we follow what he says to do. What do you want me to do? The whole people went round, and I think that's already a miracle that God had got a people who could be quiet and not moan and complain, could walk in faith, and after the faith and obedience, they did what God said. That was the test, to continue to do what God said. How many of you know the greatest tests are in monotony? 7 times? Going round and round those walls? Can you imagine 1, next day, here we go, 2... You don't think the pastor could have another message, do you? 3. Why do I have to rejoice in the Lord always? 4. What is this about praise bringing a breakthrough? 5. What does it mean give and it will be given? 6. What does it mean this surrender thing? It keeps going on and on and on and on. Being filled with the Spirit goes on and on and on. Can't we have a different message? And it's in doing the word after they had marched around. 7 times means completion. Walls came down. Result. Power. The power of God. They'd have stood there and go, how did that happen then? It was God who brought the victory for his people that day. He always said he would lead us in triumphant procession, but he got us into a place where we could be led. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.